So how did you then wind up in the Pandoras? I know the Pandoras had a lineup and it split, and Paula Pierce wound up sort of heading up one version of the Pandoras. How did you wind up playing with them?
I was going out with this guy from a band called The Fad, and they I used to go see them all the time, and through them I met Melanie from the Pandoras. Mm-hmm. We ran into each other at a little store, clothing store, and I guess they had just gotten rid of a bass player, so they decided my look was right, and that they asked my boyfriend and me if I played bass, and we lied and said I did, and I didn't. I played a little guitar, but I didn't play bass, but my boyfriend played bass, so he, you know, quickly showed me all the little tricks and stuff, and it wasn't that hard, and so I went to Melanie's and auditioned with them, and I got it.
Forget about what's past. So you might as well. he interrupted his tribute to Kim Shattuck for a news update. Apparently, let's see, MLB All-Star Game 2025, Kyle Schwarber pins Bowers NL to win with three homers and three swings in event's first swing off. So, yes, apparently the National League has done the impossible and won the All-Star Game. The 2025 MLB All-Star Game was tied 6-6 by the end of the ninth inning. Instead of extra innings, fans got some heroics from Philadelphia Phillies slugger Kyle Schwarber. Decided by baseball's first-ever All-Star swing-off, the National League beat the American League to notch its second All-Star Game win in 3 years. It's only the league's fifth win in 28 years as well. Each team sent three players to the plate with three swings each, creating a mini home run derby to decide the game. The AL fields a trio of Athletics designated hitter Brent Rooker, outfielder Randy Arozarena, and Tampa Bay Rays first baseman Jonathan Aranda, while Miami Marlins outfield Kyle Stowers, Schwarber, and New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso were the guys for the NL. Rooker put the AL in the early lead with two long balls to one from Stowers, but then Schwarber delivered an absolutely clutch 3-for-3 performance to put the NL ahead going into the final round. Aranda went 0-for-3 to leave Alonso, who forewent the home run derby for the first time in his career this year, hanging and giving the senior circuit the win 4-3, and 7-6 is the overall final score. Yes, anyway, back to our tribute to Kim Shattuck.
What happened there towards the end of the Pandoras, and what was the spark that gave rise to creating or forming the Muffs?
The Pandoras, as very brief time went by, the songs went from being something I liked to something I hated. And because she would get on a kick, Paula would get on a kick, and she would start writing a whole different style of songs. She went through a brief Bryan Adams phase, I think it was. And after that, it was a little bit poppier. Like, she had her Madonna phase, and then she had her Bryan Adams phase, and then suddenly she had her Whitesnake phase. And so when she had her Whitesnake phase, I thought I was going to lose my mind. And I started, well, and I'd always written songs, but I wrote terrible songs. Like, I did not like my songs yet. So I just kept practicing, writing songs, finding my way. And then, you know, as the end of the Pandoras got nasty, people started quitting, getting fired. Like, Melanie got fired from the Pandoras. I was just like, oh my God, I can't take it anymore. And we were set to go on a European tour, but Paula canceled it behind our backs because her boyfriend couldn't go along. And so, like, I can't believe it. That's just the worst decision I've ever heard. So I quit. And
wow, you know, all the things you're describing there, just the inner political things, that it's just, unfortunately, that's so typical in bands, you know?
Yeah. It was nasty. And so I had to take that as an experience of what not to do.
Right.
And we had to start our own thing. And so myself, Ronnie Barnett, and Melanie Vammen started the Muffs.
You know, I went to two of your shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it interesting watching the warm-up band.
Oh, yeah.
And do you get to pick the warm-up bands?
Mostly we do. I think lately we haven't been because we're just kind of tired of it. I mean, just pick whoever you want. Pick them. And it usually works out fine. But who were the...
Let's see. I saw you at the Knitting Factory.
Recently.
Dolly Rock. Yeah.
Dolly Rock, yeah.
Uh-huh. Lex Apples and Randy's.
Right.
And Randy's were with you at the Echo also.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm.
So, now, it's kind of like girl punk.
That would be,
it's like the label that seems like these shows are kind of built around.
Maybe. I mean, I never think of it like that, but, you know, maybe.
Okay, I will. I do.
Yeah.
There seems to be... And you're different than the opening bands.
A lot different, yeah.
But it was instructive to me because I'm not that familiar with current punk scene, local bands.
Neither am I, actually.
Well, I was hoping you'd answer a lot of questions.
Oh, I will do my best.
Sorry about that.
Well, we did. No.
You can say that because I'll just go beep, and then they can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
no,
believe
no
it.
No offense, you guys. Okay.
Okay. No. They just asked us. We didn't have any idea about it. I'm being Darby Crash right now.
Okay, that's cool.
No, we just said, okay, why not pay back our publishing?
But how did they get a hold of you? Did they...
They called our manager.
And they said, we like this Must song. And
they came to us. They wanted that song. And Everywhere I Go. And
we said, all right.
And then we turned down Reebok 2 weeks later. We did.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They wanted Honeymoon.
They wanted Honeymoon for my new album.
And I thought that was really gross.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. We turned
that
down.
That would have been...
Oh, who cares?
Okay. It wasn't that much.
Oh, was it?
It wasn't as much as, yeah.
We're always fielding offers from here and
it
there.
It wasn't as much as you think, but it was just not worth having our new song be, together with shoes. Especially Reeboks.
But...
I love your scream. I've always thought you have, like, such a cool and unique voice. Like,
oh,
one of my favorite voices.
Wow, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you're able to go from a very, like, sweet sounding, like, angelic kind of vocal to just, like, that crazy, awesome scream.
Yeah.
Well, what was that, like, influenced by? Did you have anyone?
I think, like, I was always really into John Lennon's little yelps every once in a while. Like, he would do, like, little screams and stuff. And then when I was in the Pandoras, Paula Pierce, the main person, she screamed a lot. But and actually one time when we were on tour in Pandora's, Paula decided we should have a scream off.
None
of us knew how to scream really like that. And so she gave us a little instruction how to do it, like that, you know, like that kind of thing. And then we had our scream off and we all did it, and I won
nice.
My scream off. And then later when we did the muffs, I just started doing it without really thinking. I realized later that I don't like dead air. Like, I get very uncomfortable with dead air. So if I'm not playing really hard or if I'm doing a lead or something, I also don't want there to be dead vocal air. So I would throw in screams all the time. And people used to hate that at first. They were like, why is she always screaming?
Oh.
I know, like,
yeah. Because girls aren't supposed to scream.
I know. We're not supposed to have feelings and be wretched. And but, yeah, so that's when I started doing it. And now it's just so easy. And not all the albums have a lot of screams in it. But so, like, when Blonder and Blonder first came out, which is our album from 1995, people were like, he screams too much. And then like 2 years later, we put out Happy Birthday to Me, which I have a couple teeny dinky screams in. And then, why isn't she screaming more? It was like, shut up,
yeah.
People.
Oh,
I like way learned not to even care. But
yeah.
Like, people's opinions don't matter anyways. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, when we first started playing Kids in America, I felt really stupid because it's a pretty dumb song. Like, the lyrics are so dumb. But after a while, you just kind of just like, you know what? People like to hear it. It's fine.
Is that a record label idea? It sounds like it would be a record label.
It sounds like it, but it's not. They were doing the movie, and I came through the pike of, you have three songs to choose from. We really want you to be on this movie. It's either going to be All by Myself by Eric Carmen or the Raspberries or whatever, and then Kids in America, or and then there was a cassette that they messengered to us of this person's song. It was the worst song ever, and we made fun of it the whole tour. We just play it and make fun of it and laugh. And so we ended up doing Kids in America when we got to New York. And,
wait, the soundtrack said you're going to do a cover. They weren't interested in any original song?
Yeah, that's kind of messed up, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I wish it, yeah, because I don't like when, I'm really hesitant to do covers because I always think that that's the one that's going to get picked to be good and all my, what I find to be like.
Yeah, you don't want a cover song to define you in the eyes of people.
Right. Yeah. But it's okay, whatever. It's, you know, it's better than nothing. I mean, we're not, like, a big popular band, so it's fine.
Looking out a dirty old window, outside the cars in the city go rushing by. I sit here alone and I wonder why.
The Muffs and Honeymoon from Happy Birthday to Me. Released on Warner Brothers, released on Reprise Records in 1997. So, yeah. So, I think next week we're going to do, like, part two of... Oh, here we go. Rebroadcast of Bradley and Pernicious Reunion. Yeah, so, yeah, next week we're going to do part two of Retrieve to Kim Shattuck. I'm also going to do, have Uncle Tupelo as the featured artist, but that's next week. But now, the show's over, because we kind of ran out of time, so. The next live show on RFD will be the Tom and Daryl afternoon show. Oh, I don't think I'm recording that. Yeah, I'm going to record it. So, yeah, this is the Tom and Daryl afternoon show. All right. To each brand new bright tomorrow, be happy through the years. Tom and Daryl afternoon show, and then after that, The World According to Clay and Rachy at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. And then we have some Jim Pemberton shows. Probably bring me back the 70s. So anyway, stay tuned for a replay of Club and Taylor Overnight from years ago. I'm going to wait until at 6:55, we're going to have like the Yield Max ETFs announce their distribution. So I accumulated like 300 shares of PLTY and ready to acquire some more shares of it. Because I think they're going to pay like, one of the S's had them at like $6, so it's pretty cool. I'm going to like try to fix my computer, get to where it's, satisfactory. But until next week, this is number 6 reminding you to lather, rinse, repeat, do something with the spring and arrows, no yes, drive safely, and drink milk. Show's over. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye! Stay tuned for tune in next week for an equally awesome show. Show's over. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye! 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 I'm going to go to the next one.